Welcome to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. On today's show, we'll meet a man who has been photographing the shoreline of the Great Lakes all 10,000 miles. And as we continue our series on higher education, we hear about one woman's struggle to pay off her student debt almost a decade after graduation. But first, how about this? Some encouraging economic news about our state for us all to talk about. Today, it was announced that U.S. consumer confidence rose this month to its highest level in almost 5 years, pushed up by steady improvements in hiring. And new U.S. Commerce Department reports show the economic recovery appears to be taking root here in Michigan. Per capita personal income rose in nearly every county in Michigan last year. Here to translate the economic speak for us and put it into real-life context is Michigan State University economics professor Charlie Ballard. Welcome, Charlie.
Thank you. Glad to be on the program.
Always good to have you here. Now, Charlie, we hear that term per capita personal income in countless news reports, but for those of us whose high school or college econ class is but a distant memory, tell us exactly what personal income means.
Well, for most people, it's their wages and salaries. A whole lot of families have, that's either all or like 99% of their income is how much they earn from an employer. But it also includes things like Social Security and dividends, interest, rents, and royalties. The way the Commerce Department counts these things, it doesn't include Medicare. And it doesn't include the capital gains on your stock market portfolio. But for most people, it's a pretty good indication. Now, you said per capita personal income. Mm-hmm. So what it is they add up all of the income of all of the people in Michigan, and then they just divide by the number of people. In other words, that doesn't say anything about how that income is distributed. It just gives you the average.
Okay, so we've got that set. This whole report from the Commerce Department, where they're looking at income for 2011, and we get a breakdown by county and by our state. So first, let's talk about the overall state. Michigan's per capita personal income rose 5.7% to $36,264. What does that mean?
Well, like so many things, it's a good news, bad news scenario. The good news is that we, really for 3 years now, we have been making progress out of the very deep hole of the first decade of the 21st century, which was really, let's face it, a crummy decade for Michigan's economy. We've had 3 years of progress. That's good. The not-so-good news is that we still remain about 13% below the national average. You know, Michigan is a state that in the heyday of manufacturing in the 50s and 60s, we were well above the national average. We've only been above the national average twice in the last 25 years. So, yeah. You know, we're headed in the right direction, but there's still a ways to go.
And as far as the overall state, you are offering some cautionary words about these numbers. So tell us more about that.
Well, yeah. If you're improving, if your numbers are getting better, there's two ways for that to happen. One is you're good and you're getting better. The other is you're sort of recovering from a not so good. It's the latter that we're in, where we had some room to grow, I think, because there was so much slack in the Michigan economy. Now we're a little bit less slack than we were. Our state's unemployment rate is down from in the 14s to in the 8s and 9s. We're making progress, but like I say, we're coming off such a really, really horrendous decade. And that means that we've still got a lot of people in Michigan who are not doing very well.
In fact, let's look at that. We get a breakdown by county. Let's start with who are some of the winners as far as areas in Michigan and counties in Michigan who have seen growth?
Well, Oakland County is a county that did quite well in between 2010 and 2011. And they are the most affluent county in Michigan, Birmingham, Bloomfield Hills. But that did not get them back to where they were 5 years ago. Mm. So, again, it's sort of this good news, bad news thing. We're doing better, but we are also coming out of by far the worst economic downturn since the 1930s. So Oakland County did quite well. Huron County, up in the Thumb, did very well. Now, of course, when a small, relatively rural county does well, at least part of it is you may not have a whole lot of people. So when you're taking the per capita, you're dividing by the number of people. Well, the number of people is small. It used to be that Loving County, Texas, had the highest per capita income in the nation, and that's because it's way out in the middle of nowhere, and there was a couple of guys with a lot of income, and it had the smallest population.
You
got to take all these numbers with at least a couple of grains of salt.
And for the areas that really are not doing well and we did not see much growth, same type of thing. You have to kind of look at it that way. I know UP had some very low-performing counties.
And, you know, the UP, for better or worse, the population of the Upper Peninsula is lower now than it was in 1910.
Mm.
It is a region that has not had a whole lot of economic growth for a very, very long time. And some of the poorest counties in the state are up there and in the northern Lower Peninsula. Although the northwestern Lower Peninsula, places like Grand Traverse County, Charlevoix, Leelanau County, they are among the more affluent. One that didn't do well was Ingham County, where I live, where Lansing and East Lansing. And I think that may be at least partly because of the retrenchment of the state government.
Ah, okay. Let's ask in general then, do you think the numbers we're talking about, the report from the Commerce Department, are they pointing to a recovery that is strong and encouraging or one that's weak and tentative?
I'd say sort of in between those.
Hmm.
It's not a weak recovery. It's a halfway decent recovery. I like to use, since we're in a automotive state, I like to use an automotive metaphor. It feels to me like we've sort of shifted from second gear maybe into third gear.
Okay.
We're not in fourth. We're not in overdrive. But considering that 4 years ago, 3 years ago, we were in reverse, third gear feels okay. It's not as good as I'd like to be, but we're headed in the right direction.
So we are talking about what looks like a going into third gear recovery. I like that that way of describing it. Areas seem to be getting stronger. People are spending, and yet it seems we cannot turn on the news without hearing those two words, fiscal cliff. In fact, some on cable TV have even taken to using terms like fiscal Armageddon. So help us out a little. What does the fiscal cliff, in your opinion, really mean for us in Michigan?
Well, it is certainly not Armageddon. And even cliff is awfully strong. Maybe we should call it a fiscal ramp or a fiscal slide. Last year, after some very contentious negotiations, President Obama and the House Republicans reached a deal, and they passed this Budget Control Act that sort of set a poison pill that would take effect on January 1st, 2013, with some big tax cuts and some sort of meat-axe approach cuts to spending. And the idea was those would be so bad that it would force the Congress to act in a responsible way.
Hmm.
Well, so far that hasn't happened, but I really do believe that it probably is going to happen. Now, what if it doesn't happen by midnight on January 1st?
Right.
That's not the end of the world. These tax increases, if your tax goes up for one day and then they fix it on New Year's and it's back to normal on January 2nd, well, that's not so bad. It's only if it goes on for weeks and weeks and months that we really begin to have the kind of drag on the economy that could push us back into recession. If they don't fix it at all, and if we really slam on the brakes with heavy tax increases and spending cuts, then we could have a recession. But I really don't think that'll happen. I think they will be able to come up with a deal that is sort of mildly moving toward deficit reduction, but not doing it in this crazy way.
Because I was thinking about this and just looking around at people in my world who are working after some lean times, or people who are perhaps finally able to sell their homes because real estate prices are getting stronger, so they're not as likely to be as underwater as a couple of years ago. And I think there's a sense of, don't mess this up.
Absolutely. and, you know, we see it in the survey numbers for my State of the State survey. Let's face it, people's trust in government is not all that high, and it's partly because of this kind of stalemate. But I do believe that it's quite likely that we'll get some kind of a deal that will move us in the direction of deficit reduction, which is good, but not do it in such an abrupt way as to really toss the economy back into a recession. So I'm it's not done yet. And honestly, the way these negotiations go, I don't think it'll be fixed until, you know, at the earliest 11:53 p.m. on New Year's Eve. But I do believe, and we've seen some signs, some members of Congress being a little bit more conciliatory. So I'm hopeful that a deal will be struck.
We have even heard it from House Speaker Boehner, haven't we? Just, well, maybe we could be open to some movement.
Something, yes. Speaker Boehner is a man in a very difficult position. I think fundamentally, down in his DNA, what he wants to do is make a deal. But he's got a caucus in the House of Representatives, many of whom are very strident and don't want to make a deal. But he's trying to push them in what I think is the responsible direction. Last year, Boehner and Obama came very close to a deal, mm-hmm. but the more extreme elements of the House of Representatives wouldn't let it happen. I think it's going to happen this time.
Michigan State University Economics Professor Charlie Ballard, always good to talk with you. Thanks for sharing your insights with us today on Stateside.
Thanks very much, Cindy.